Tomorrow we're going to discuss the inyan of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, whether or not that's a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah derabanan. So it comes up in the sugya in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Megillah that the Gemara is discussing machlokas between Rabbanan and Rebbe, whether or not Shema has to be said in Lashon Kodesh only, or has to be or can be said in Kolashon, any language that you understand. The pasuk says Shema, any language that you understand. That's the understanding of one opinion. And then that's Rechachamim. And Rabbi holds, no, the word Shema is not teaching me the language that can be said in, but Shema is teaching me that it should be audible, that you should say the words out loud. So in that conversation, they get into a side topic of, well, that's about Kriyas Shema. What about the rest of the Torah? What language could the rest of the Torah be written in? So the Gemara says that when it comes to the line here, if you go into Yud Zayin Mabez, the Gemara says, there's a line. There's like eight lines down or so. Kol haTorah kula b'chol lashon nemra. That's a havmina that the entire Torah can be read in any language. So what does it mean, kol haTorah kula, can be read in any language? So Rashi says it's referring to l'krosa b'chol lashon. You could read it. Now Rashi doesn't really give any more clarity what the Gemara is referring to. But Rashi in Sota, Daf Lamed Gimel, makes it very clear that it's referring to likros bebeis kneses. That the Gemara is talking about what is the language that can be used when reciting the reading in the Torah in the beis kneses. So it's referring to Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. So Rashi says, so the fact that the Psukim, the Gemara is talking about Psukim of Shema and Vahayu, which of course a Psukim in a Deraisa level, he says, so what's halacha regarding reading the Torah in the Tzibur, in the beis kneses? So Tosus reads, understands from Rashi, that it must be that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, according to Rashi, must be a mitzvah deraisa. Otherwise, that wouldn't be on the radar. That wouldn't be part of the conversation. So Rashi assumed that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a mitzvah deraisa, based on the Rashi here in Megillah and the Rashi in Sota. Now Tosus here in Megillah takes issue with Rashi. He says, I don't understand this. Because if you look in the Gemara Baba Kama, which we'll read together in just a moment, he says, that's not true. The Gemara there, he doesn't quote this Gemara, but we'll see the other Rishon quote the Gemara. Tosa says, the reading of the Torah, Beis Knesset, is only a mitzvah midirabanan. The only mitzvah deraisa we have of reading is Parsha Zachar. Parsha Zachar is the only one. We're going to get to the discussion of Parsha's Parah at the end, but according to Tosos in Megillah, Parsha Zachar is the only one. So what in the world is Rashi talking about when he calls Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur a mitzvah deraisa? So Tosos ends up giving his own explanation. He says it's not referring to any Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. It's referring to there's certain mitzvahs in the Torah that you have to recite a text along with that mitzvah. So the first example, he says, when a man's performing chalitza, so a woman, her husband dies, she becomes a widow, and leaves behind, there's no children that's left behind. She's childless, she's now lost her husband, so the brother-in-law has to perform either yibum or chalitza. So when the brother-in-law decides to perform chalitza, there's a text that he has to say, so that's what saying, that's referring to, that's a mitzvah deraisa of reading that part of the Sefer Torah. But nothing to do with reading the Torah in the Tzibur. And the other example Tosos gives is Egla Rufa. When you perform Egla Rufa, when there's a person who's found dead between two cities and you don't know who the murderer is, so the closest city is responsible of bringing Egla Rufa, when they do that process, so the Torah says you have to also recite the Psukim. So those reciting of Psukim is a mitzvah deraisa, nothing again to do with Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And then the two final examples Tosos brings is Vidur Meiser and Bikurim. Vidur Meiser is, we know when a farmer takes Zerum, when he takes Truma, he gives Truma to the Kohen, he takes Maaser Rishon and gives it to Levi, and then a few of the years he gives either Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. So what does he do with Maaser Sheni? He takes Maaser Sheni and brings it to Yushalayim. So when it gets to Yushalayim, there's what's called Vidui Maaser, there's a text that you have to say found in Parshas Kisavo. That text is a mitzvah deraisa, or Bikurim, any year that you bring the first fruits of the Shiva Saminim, it's called Bikurim. So when you bring those Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohanim, you recite the mitzvah, it's called Mikra Bikurim. So that's Deraisa, but nothing to do with the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, according to Tosfos.
What does it mean, Deraisa means, that you say it by heart?
So that's good. So there are two nafkaminas. Who cares whether it's Deraisa or Derabanan? We have to say it anyways. So I'll get to your point in a second, but the Ber Hetev writes that if it's a mitzvah Deraisa of any type of reading, he's talking about Parsha Zachar, so you should not have a katan do the reading. If he's going to be motzi the rabbin, we know a katan is not allowed to be motzi the rabbin's deraisa, because a katan's chiv at best is a derbanan. So if Parsha Zachar is deraisa, so he can't be motzi our obligation, which is a deraisa. So if you assume like Rashi that all Kriyas HaTorah is in general, so then a katan should never be able to be the Baal Kori. Now that's how we pass in anyway. The Baal Kori should never be the Baal Kori. A katan should never be a Baal Kori. But we are extra makbid when it comes to Parsha Zachar that we should make sure he's an adult. Lav dafka 13 years, but he also has shtei saros. So we're not going to check a child, a 13-year-old, if he has shtei saros. So that's why we make sure an adult is the one who's really doing it, that we know he has a beard, that for sure he's capable of growing a beard, that for sure he's a gadol of that age. So that's one afkamina, whether katan could be motzi the rabbim. A second afkamina the Mishnah Berurah addresses. What's the other afkamina? Anyone see the Mishnah Berurah? All the way at the end of the Mar Makomos? He's talking about mitzvahs tzrichos kavana. So there's a big machlokas whether or not mitzvahs derabanan tzrichos kavana. So everyone agrees mitzvahs deraisa requires kavana, and even b'dieved, the person did not have kavana, you have to redo the mitzvah. A person put on tefillin and wasn't paying attention that he's doing a mitzvah, he's just doing it, so you have to do it again with the kavana of a mitzvah. But a mitzvah derabanan, we say lechachila, you should have kavana, that I'm about to perform the mitzvah of, let's say, Megillah or Hanukkah, and if you don't have that kavana, you're yod to the mitzvah. So that's an afkamina. If you assume kriyas haTorah b'tzibur, it's a mitzvah deraisa, so you have to have kavana even b'dieved. But if you assume that's only midirabanan, so then b'dieved, if you don't have it, you're still yod to the mitzvah. Those are two nafkaminas, whether or not it's deraisa or derabanan. Now Ezra raised a different point of whether or not you're allowed to say it baal peh. Baal peh is a different topic because even if you assume, I'll explain, the Gemara in Gittin and Gemara in Erechin has the following concept. The Gemara says when it comes to psukim, Torah Shebichsav, it says, there's an issa deraisa, you cannot recite psukim by heart. It's a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch as well, beginning of Or Chaim. You cannot recite psukim baal peh. The Shulchan Aruch gives a few examples that you're allowed to. You're allowed to say karban tamid by heart. You could say shema by heart, because these are things that people actually know. So that's, but things that people don't normally, they don't know by heart, you're not allowed to say psukim baal peh. So that would be a different point here. Because even if you assume that the obligation to recite the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is only derabanan, it's still pasuk in a deraisa level, and you still can't say baal peh. Okay. So now, let's understand this machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, whether or not the mitzvah of reading the Sefer Torah B'Tzibur is a mitzvah deraisa or mitzvah derabanan. So if you look at the Tosfos in Brachos Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosfos elaborates a little bit more, and he says, I don't understand how Rashi could assume that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a mitzvah deraisa, because we know that the Gemara Baba Kama tells us that Ezra was misakin, and Ezra came several generations after Moshe Rabbeinu. It at best could have a Divrei Kabbalah status, but it cannot have a deraisa status, so that's why it goes against Rashi. It's only a mitzvah midirabanan, because Ezra was the founder of Kriyas HaTorah. So let's take a look at that Gemara in Baba Kama. Look at number 3. So the Gemara Baba Kama, Beis Amud Aleph, talks about there are Asara Takanos Tikkun Ezra. There are 10 Takanos that Ezra instituted. So among them are Shekorin B'Mincha B'Shabbos, V'Korin B'Sheni B'Chamishi. One of the Takanos he made was that you're supposed to read on Mincha Shabbos afternoon, and you're supposed to read on Mondays and Thursdays, and I'll just read a few of the other ones. Danin B'Sheni B'Chamishi, the Bezdin sits on Mondays and Thursdays. U'Mechabsin B'Chamishi B'Shabbos. This is a halacha that I'm not sure if all women are aware of, that you're supposed to do laundry on Thursdays, not on Fridays. There's an isser to do laundry. It's brought down in the Ramah, the very first halacha, first simon in Hilchos Shabbos, simon Reish Membeis, you can't do laundry in Erev Shabbos. So there's a machlokas, why can't you do laundry in Erev Shabbos? So some say because you have to get involved in cooking, and if you're doing laundry, it's very, very busy. Others say no, it's really in order to ensure that you have laundered clothing for Shabbos. So really, the institution isn't to allow you to have time. It's really to, in order, a positive, an encouragement to make sure that you have clean clothing for Shabbos. So why not do it on Friday? Because as a second element, we also don't want you to get involved with all the cooking, to take away from the cooking. But again, one is not supposed to do any laundry on Erev Shabbos. So there's a discussion, what about Thursday night? Are you allowed to do it Thursday night? Is that already Bechlal Yom Shishi? Thursday night is Yom Shishi. But many, many poskim point out that nowadays, since we have laundry, we have washing machines and dryers, which make things a little bit easier. Now, I know my wife doesn't like laundry anytime. It's still, you know, very, very involved. I imagine it was much more involved back then. It makes it certainly easier now, but still, it's a lot to do. It takes away a lot. So the poskim point out, Bizman Azeh, you are allowed to do laundry on Erev Shabbos, since we have washing machines and dryers, but still, if possible, to avoid that, if you can. But it's not always so easy to avoid that. So that's a very important takana. Okay, anyways. So the Gemara ends up saying that, wait a second, the Gemara asks on Baba Kama, is it really true that Ezra was the one who was misaking reading on Mondays and Thursdays? V'ha me'karahava mitakne, already existed beforehand. And based on the pasuk we have in Bishalach, v'yelchu shlosh yamim b'midbar v'lo matzumayim, they walked 3 days in the desert and there was no water. So literally they have no water. The place of the desert has no water. But the drasha is, no, ein mayim ela Torah. They walked 3 days and they didn't have a chance to learn. They were thirsty for water, thirsty for Torah. So at that point, the Gemara says, very important language now, going on to the next page. Amdu nevi'im shebeinehem b'tiknu lahem shukarim b'shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, it wasn't Ezra who created the readings of Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos. It actually were the nevi'im during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we know there were other Nevi'im. Eldad and Medad were Nevi'im during the times of Moshe. There are other Nevi'im who existed during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara, according at least the text that we have, it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu who was misaking it. It was Nevi'im who were there at the time. That sounds like a very strange thing. If Moshe Rabbeinu was there, why did other Nevi'im, why were they the ones who were misaking it? You just ask the source. Moshe Rabbeinu is you can't ask a better person than that. It's a very strange thing. Also, Nevi'im aren't usually ones who paskin chilas. Nevi'im are ones who have Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, but not necessarily making halachic decisions. So just very interesting that the Gemara uses the language of Nevi'im Beinehem and that they made the Takana as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why do you need Shabbos afternoon? It's 3 days. You read it on Shabbos morning, the Torah. So
the Shabbos afternoon was not for that purpose. It was they only made the Takana of reading it on Mondays and Thursdays, not in Erev Shabbos. The Mincha Shabbos was a different reason. It's a different reason. I think keep people busy in the afternoons on Shabbos. I don't remember, but not because of 3 day time period. Okay. So, anyways, we see. So, who created the initial Takana? It wasn't Ezra. It was the Nevi'im who lived during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Sounds like that wasn't a. So now it gets into an interesting question. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu instituted Mondays and Thursdays reading. It was Nevi'im of Moshe Rabbeinu's time, but doesn't mean it has a derisive status. Just because they lived during the time the Torah was given, doesn't mean it has a derisive status. It was still a takana. So for example, Rav Shechter likes to say, just because a person lived during the times of the Amorayim or the Tanaim, doesn't make them a Tana, doesn't make them an Amora. They have to have that status of being that way. There were plenty of Amei HaAretz back then. So just because they lived during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and were Nevi'im, doesn't give it a status of a Deraisa. Deraisa means it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the understanding of Tosfos as to why it's only a mitzvah midirabanan. But the Bach in Siman Tav Resh Pei Hei argues, and he supports the position of Rashi, that in fact Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a mitzvah Daraisa. How does the Bach know this? So if you look at number 4, the second paragraph of number 4 with all the bolded lines, he says it's a mitzvah Daraisa, and he quotes a Gemara in Meruba, Daf Pei Beis, our sugya. And listen to the text that he has. The Bach says, Amru Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom tikin b'midbar shukorin b'torah elashaba Ezra v'tikin. He has a slightly different, very important, different girsa. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was misaking the takana of reading the Torah, not the Nevi'im Shebeinam. So he had a different girsa than we had. And he says the Yushalmi also, Megillah, is very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was misaking the reading of the Torah B'tzibur in the Beis Knesset. So that's the big machlok, because it sounds like it comes down to, it boils down to a girsa. Does the Gemara mean to say Nevi'im Beinayim was misaking it? Or does it mean to say Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking it? So Bach had a girsa like the Yushami that Moshe was misaking it. Others thought not. So that's why the Bach assumes, like Rashi, that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Because it's Moshe?
Because, exactly, since Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who did it.
Wouldn't it be still the rabbanim? Because, I mean, if it's not Halakha Moshe Misinai or from... if Moshe made a takana, it's still the rabbanan, right?
Right. So that's what the others, the Achron argue on the Bach and says, just like you said, Moshe Rabbeinu, he could be misaken thing. He was very great. He was the greatest navi and rabbi we ever had. But again, deraisa means it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some say no, it can't be the case. Others say no. But the Gemara quoted a pasuk The pasuk says Vayilchu b'midbar shloshi yomim v'lo mayim. There's no water. So the fact that it was put in the Torah, that sounds like it was agreed upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it would have a status of a deraisa. Just like, for example, Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give to us. We requested people who became Tamei, they said, wait a second, what about us? We forgot about us. We were Tamei. We were busy dealing with the Kfur of Yosef HaTzadik or the Kfur of Tamei Meis. And now we're left out of the Karban Pesach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right, you're going to get a second chance at Pesach Sheni. So even though it came from the inspiration of the people, it still had a status of deraisa once it was recorded in the Torah. Or Benos Slavcha about how the Yerusha process works. They said, wait a second, my father, he has no son, so that means his legacy is lost forever? So the Hashem says, you're right, we're going to make a mitzvah deraisa of Yerusha, that the son, if there's no son, then the daughter gets it, and the whole line of Yerusha. So here as well, Moshe Rabbeinu may have been the one who inspired the Takana, but once it was put into the words of the Torah, Vayelchu Shloshi Yom B'Midbar B'Lomayim, that already gave the stamp of approval from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that makes it deraisa. That's, I think, what the response would be.
Wait, sorry, what is that pasuk quoting?
That pasuk, if you look back in, it's a pasuk in the Gemara Bava Kama. Okay. Gemara Bava Kama there, the end of that line, the last line, number three, the last two lines, it says, D'Tanya Vayelchu Shloshi Yom. So that's what would make it a mitzvah deraisa. Now, the Bach just notes, interestingly, even though the Bach's understanding that reading the Torah B'tzibur is a mitzvah deraisa, he does acknowledge that Parsha Zachar is still a higher level. You still have to have a little bit more care. Parsha Zachar is singled out as a special reading, but granted, the rest of the Torah is also a mitzvah deraisa to read. That is all in the position of the Bach. But the Magen Avraham argues. And Magen Avraham points out that the Bach had an incorrect girsa because the Gemara doesn't say Moshe was mesakin it. The Gemara actually says that the Nevi'im Shebeneim were the ones who mesakin it, in which case Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is at best a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. That's how the Magen Avraham and the Machzor Shekel argue on the Bach. Okay. Now, there are other proofs that even though Moshe was masakin it, to Moshe's point here, that there are other examples that even though Moshe was masakin it, does that necessarily give it a status of a deraisa? Right, we said before that Moshe was masakin, if you have the girsa of the Bach, let's say we grant that to the Bach, the girsa was Moshe was masakin it, and the Yushalmi clearly says Moshe was masakin it. Just because Moshe was masakin it, like you're asking, does it give it a status of a deraisa level? So there are a couple other examples I put to here. I just came across another one yesterday, that Moshe was masakin something and it did not have a status of a deraisa. So the first example is when it comes to benching. Benching, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Daf Menches Mabez, that different people were involved in instituting the different paragraphs, the Nusach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was masakin the first Nusach, the first Bracha. Yeshua put together the second Bracha. David and Shlomo did the third Bracha. Fine. The fourth Bracha came with the Yavne and the Tova Meitiv, the not being able to bury the body. So the Rambam points this out, and Rambam Hilchas Bracha says that Moshe was masakin the first bracha, and the Kesem Mishnah says, quoting the Ramban, that everyone agrees that benching is a mitzvah deraisa. It was the only one, or maybe two, of the only two brachas that are mitzvah deraisa. The first bracha, everyone agrees benching is deraisa, and there's a machlokas whether birchas haTorah is a deraisa. That's a machlokas. But everybody agrees that benching is a mitzvah deraisa. So Ramban points out, the concept of benching is deraisa. When you finish your meal, all you have to say afterwards is, thank you Hashem for the food. That's all you have to say on a deraisa level. Now came along Moshe, and he's masakin it, but says Ramban, that takana was only a dirabanan takana. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the one who said had to say the bracha. He wrote the nusach. And Moshe Rabbeinu lived during the times of the giving of the Torah. So how could it be that if Moshe was masakin it, it's only a mitzvah dirabanan, that actual nusach? So yeah, so we see from here that even though Moshe was masakin something, it doesn't give it a status of a deraisa. So just because the Bach has a girsa that Moshe was masakin kriyas haTorah B'Tzibur doesn't necessarily make it a mitzvah deraisa. What's the second example? That Moshe Rabbeinu was masakin something, but it only had a status of a dirabanan. The other example is avelus. There's a big machlokus in the Rishonim where they're avelus shiva. We know when a person sits shiva, he sits shiva for 7 days. So machlokus, is that a mitzvah deraisa, or is the mitzvah deraisa only one day, but Chachamim extended it to 7 days. That's a machlokus in the Gemara in Moed Katan. There's a Tosos, there's a Rambam, and there's a Rif, a whole big discussion. So the Rambam Shita in the beginning of Hilchos Avelus is that sitting Shiva one day is Deraisa, but sitting 7 days is only a Dirabanan. Who was the one who instituted sitting 7 days? Says the Rambam, Moshe was Mesakin to sit 7 days. He extended the 1 day Deraisa, he extended to 7 days. So Moshe was Mesakin it, shouldn't that be a mitzvah Deraisa? So we see yet another example that even though Moshe was Mesakin something, it only has a status of a Dirabanan. So these are two examples. So the third example is now our case of Kriyas HaTorah. Just because Moshe was Mesakin Kriyas HaTorah B'Tishibor doesn't make it a status Deraisa, it's only a status of a Dirabanan. Meaning in terms of how many psukim we read, the three, but that
even
does
even what you read on different
Shabbos. Right, but that format, I'm not sure if that would affect Moshe Beinu. At least the way it's presented in the Gemara was you read something every 3 days.
It sounds that way also when it comes to satisfying your obligation to thank a Kodesh Baruch for what you've consumed. It seems like Moshe put together a text. And then it was added on. You put together a text that should be followed because there's some sort of level of consistency. I mean, that text
that he wrote that's not an obligation to use that text on a deraisa level.
No,
it's only derabanan.
It just shows that you have, but it does show there's enough. Well, the fact that Yehoshua came along and added something to it, and then others came along and added something to it, almost proves the point that there's the fact that it's necessary to say thank you, so to speak, is we understand how you do that could be modified.
No, correct. Our discussion here is, but when Moshe is the one modifying it, does that modification become a deraisa or a derabanan? And we're proving it's only a derabanan.
Right. It's the idea that Moshe, anything that Moshe put in place is netzach, right? It lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
So the method by which how you satisfy that seems to have changed over time, but the fact that it's needed to be done hasn't.
Correct.
When it comes to laying every three, saying something from the Torah every 3 days.
Correct. But I'm saying I don't know if that you need to bring that proof from the fact that it had been modified over the course of time. How much of that is a relevant factor? Just we're saying the fact that Moshe Beinu instituted on his own, that itself gives it a status of derabanan as opposed to deraisa, regardless of the modifications over time. When he creates something on his own, even though it was correct, it only becomes a derabanan, regardless of any modifications over time.
Right, but the intent is deraisa. The fact that it's necessary to do.
The keem is deraisa, but not that text. Using Moshe Beinu's...
But that's almost with everything we do.
No, not at all. Everything we do. I mean, tefillin, the tzitzis, all these things.
It depends.
When it comes to what? Sorry.
When it comes to Shiva, it depends. The fact that it's necessary to mourn, so to speak, some level, right? If you don't have any opportunity, if somebody has to show them dies on Yom Tov, you wait until after Yom Tov to start. If somebody dies an hour or two before, it actually breaks it. So the idea is that it's misaking that there is a requirement to mourn. How long that mourning is negotiable, so to speak.
No, that negotiates. Again, some things that the Torah tells us and some things that are given clear. Sometimes the Chachamim extend it, they expand it, they modify it. Some things are not given at all. Chol HaMoed, for example, Mlacha and Chol HaMoed is an example where the Torah says it's Asr, but the details were handed over Masu L'Chacham to define which ones are Asr, which ones are not. So I'm not sure what point you're trying to prove here. All we're trying to say here is from Moshe Beinu is that if he's Masakin something on his own, that just gives it a status of Derabanan. So... Right, so based on what we're seeing here in the Ramban, it's quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, that's not the case. The Ramban says, even though Moshe Beinu was Mesakin the first bracha, it still at best is a mitzvah derabanan. That's the point we're trying to prove here is that that anything that Moshe Beinu made on his own, that's only derabanan. Despite what we would have thought otherwise, Moshe Beinu, as great as he was, if he's doing it on his own volition, it's only a derabanan.
Didn't say Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke from the Grono from Moshe, so isn't it really...
If the psukim, that's basically if we're using Vayelchus Shlosh Yamim, If it was something that it wasn't based on psukim, just on his own he created it, so then it wouldn't have a deraisa status. No, right, so, right. That's a benching's deraisa. But the text that's being used isn't deraisa. That's not found anywhere in the Torah. And that Moshe Benu on his own created that. So that would be the difference. Fine. Now, a third example I came across just yesterday, there is a concept of mishmaros. We know the Kohanim worked in the base of Mikdash, and they had 24 mishmaros. Chaf, Dalad, mishmaros. I mentioned this in the past, that number 24 is a very, very important number when it comes to the base of Mikdash. There are 24 groups of Kohanim, the 24 Matnos Kuna. 24 is a big number, 24 hours in a day. Kohanim are the ones who are keeping the world running every single day, 24 hours. Fine. So the Gemara in Tainis says that there are, Moshe Rabbeinu was Misake in the first stage, the different levels. I think Moshe Rabbeinu first made eight Mishmaros, and then someone came along, made 16, and then 24. So that idea of Moshe Rabbeinu making these mishmaros to different groups of Kohanim, so the Rambam says that Moshe was the one responsible. And the Minchas Chinuch points out that the concept of Kohanim working and being broken up is a mitzvah deraisa. How it was broken up was only dirabanan. Wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu the one who broke it up in that way? Granted, just because Moshe Rabbeinu broke it up doesn't give it a status of a deraisa. It's still, at best, a mitzvah dirabanan. So that's a third example where Moshe Rabbeinu was involved, yet still has a mitzvah dirabanan. Now, the interesting I saw on Yontif, you guys know Uri Cohen here from the neighborhood, Uri Cohen, Tall Cohen. So I was he was down here at Shkama, one of the days of Yontif. I went to wash his hands, and he was washing his hands on his own. I said, you know, you're taking my job away. He said, where I come from, the Ner Levim. I said, what are you talking about? So after davening, he told me that his family comes from an island, I forget the name of it, it's north of Africa in the Mediterranean, and they have a shtar yichus that dates back 2,000 years of Kohanim, and they left after Bais Rishon, they left, Kohanim left, they escaped, they got to this island, and then when Ezra was coming back, returning back from Gullus for Bais Sheni, so they sent a message to this island of these Jews. They were all Kohanim, that they worked in the base of Mikdash. They sent a message that come back to for the Bais Sheni, and they didn't believe Ezra. They didn't know who Ezra was. You know, it was they were on an island of their own, and Ezra gave them the curse, the following curse, which still to this day, there's apparently a booming community, not booming, but there are a few thousand Jews there still in this island. The curse was that no Levim should ever live in this island to serve you there. And he said there was some curse that they sent back to Ezra. He doesn't know what that curse was exactly. And that's a kachava. And that no Levim lived in this island. And he said one time a Levi came and got sick and something and didn't live. So they've been living there for 2,000 years. He said to me that there is no such thing as a non-religious Jew there. Every Jew is religious. Now, again, trying to think back historically, they lived in this island before the Mishnah was put together, before the Gemara. So you would imagine that they're off halacha. They had a whole different, line of thinking. He said that they had stayed in correspondence with the rest of the Jewish community throughout the years, with letters and correspondence, and they stayed together with the Mishnah and Gemara and halacha, but they stayed on this island. And he said his father lived in this island. When he was 14, his father moved to England. But his father, from 14 years old, he lived in this island that had been there for 2,000 years, people living there. So he comes from a family that lived in the that worked in the base of Mikdash. So he knows that he's one of these batikunas that they worked in the base of Mikdash. So that I pointed out to him, you know, there's a Gemara in Tainis that says that if you know that your family was one of the families of Kohanim who worked in the base of Mikdash, not every family had the zechus to work there, but if you knew that your family worked in the base of Mikdash, and you knew which week of the year of the 24 mishmaros, every Kohen had 2 weeks, 24 mishmaros. 2 weeks per family. If you knew which weeks your family worked, you're not allowed to drink any alcohol that entire week. Because if it's your week, the Mashiach might come and you have to be on duty and ready, so you can't be drunk. And then the Gemara says, if you know that you came from a family that worked in the base of Mikdash, but you didn't know which week it was, that means any week of the year could be your week, and you can't drink the entire year. Because any day he comes might be your day. So there, you're not allowed to drink at all any alcohol. But then Rebbe says, the kilkulo is takanaso. Unclear what that means, but he says since the way Rashi says it, since 2,000 years came and passed, and the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt, we're not so, it's a strange line, don't take this the wrong way, but we're not so confident that Mashiach's coming so abruptly. So you don't have to be so prepared, whatever that means.
Why don't we also say the same thing that once Mashiach comes, it should be, you know, momentarily, that the families who serve might change. Or the timing of those families would change.
Yes, so the Gemara assumes otherwise. Gemara assumed that he has a certain yichus in the Masorah that can't, it could be changed, but the way the Gemara assumes is not that way. I can't say more than that.
Some Kohan families never serve, and other ones always serve?
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't work either.
It does work, whether you like it or not, that's another point, but it works.
That doesn't seem to fit.
It may not make you happy. I hope I'm a Levi who also gets to sing, or I don't know how it works for me either, but nothing I could do about it, but it could be, it would change, but the Gemara assumes it doesn't change, and whoever had the Yichas who didn't, so you have another job. They said that the Kohanim who are Bali Mumin, their jobs, not pointing out that you're Bali Mumin, but if a Kohen who doesn't work in the base of Migdash, they would check the sheep to make sure that there are maybe the wood. They would check the wood to make sure all the wood had no worms in them to just test them out. So that could be a job also. It might not be the most prestigious job that we'd be looking for, but it's a job at the Beis HaMikdash. So I might be a gatekeeper, I might be a singer, I might be nothing. Who knows? Fine.
Let's go back to the same point. I don't want you to object, but obviously this person had a Masorah for whatever, but there's a halacha to wash your hands. So like, doesn't the fact that they didn't wash hands was because there was no labium, but now there's labium around.
Oh, he let me wash hands. That's all. In the end of the day, he was just getting it ready because I wasn't there yet. I was trying to hurry. Yeah, he let me wash his hands. Then in terms of washing hands, the way it works is that if there's no labium around, so then a bechor Yisrael should wash it. They have a certain status of that, and if not that, so then the Kohen himself could wash the hands. Okay. No, I used to, right, he's still on that. So we have a couple of Levim here. Okay, now let's move on to the Merom Yisada. The Netziv writes that he says a very interesting point here, that even though, back to Rashi and Tosa, Rashi says, Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a mitzvah deraisa. The Tosa says it can't be because Ezra is masaking it, or maybe even the Nevi'im during the times of Moshe Beinu was masaking it, and that's only going to be a Dirabanan. So the Netziv writes in number 11 that you're right. That Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, there is no Chiyuv Min HaTorah, but there is a Kim Min HaTorah. So the point is that during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever you read the Torah, it would have been a Kim. All Moshe did was he obligated them to read it every 3 days. But Midaraisa, read the Torah B'Tzibur. There has to be a communal reading at some point. It could be every month. Moshe just was masaking it and modified it to how frequent one should be doing it. So there's no chi min haTorah, but there is a ki min haTorah. That's what Rashi is referring to. We have such a concept in many other places. So for example, tzitzis. There is no chiv to wear tzitzis. I don't have to wear tzitzis today. You don't have to wear tzitzis. There's certainly a kiyum. Right. So, but there's no obligation to even wear a four-cornered garment. The obligation is if you are wearing a four-cornered garment, so then you should put tzitzis on and you're mekayim a mitzvah. But there's no chiv. But Chacham came along and says that a person, I'm not sure they formulate it as a chiv, but very, very strongly encouraged to wear tzitzis. There's no chiv to, but there's a kiyum in before me. We have many examples, of course, of a kiyum deraisa that have no chiv. And that's how the Netziv understands it in terms of dealing with these two sugyas, that there's no chiv, but there is a kiyum midaraisa. The Ritva points out he is in the same camp as Rashi. The Ritva does think that there is a mitzvah deraisa, there's a chiv midaraisa of reading the Torah B'Tzibur, and that's based on an interesting Kal V'Chomer in the Gemara Brachos, Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Gemara that's referring to, that Birchas HaTorah and the benching, these two concepts, which are the only mitzvahs, the only brachas that are deraisa. So the Gemara has a Kal V'Chomer of saying a bracha before and saying a bracha afterwards. So based on this Kal V'Chomer of benching and Birchas HaTorah, it's clear from that Gemara that Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah deraisa. Now, which Birchas HaTorah is he referring to there? So it could be Birchas HaTorah that we say every single morning. That could be the Birchas HaTorah. But the Ritva understands that no, when the Gemara is referring to Birchas HaTorah, that's a deraisa, it's referring to Birchas HaTorah that's said on a tzibur level, and therefore he assumes that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a mitzvah deraisa. Okay, we assume otherwise, though. We assume, yeah.
But it's a mitzvah deraisa on the tzibur, not on the individual.
Ah, so that's a whole other discussion. We discussed, I think, last year a little bit, whether this is a yachid or a tzibur obligation. Another point, but I'll just raise the points now since you mentioned it. Does each individual have to listen to it, or does a tzibur that you're part of have to listen to it? So let's say, what's a nafkamina? So let's say you're not in a tzibur. Let's say you're traveling somewhere. So do you have an obligation to make sure you hear it, or no? If there's no tzibur, there's no obligation. So that's a very, very important part of machlokas. You have to pay attention to the Kriyas Torah, or as long as there's 10 people who are listening to it, and I'm in the room, I get my kichiv. That's a big machlokas. Rav Chaim talks about this chakira. But that is a different point of, within the tzibur, is it broken down individually, or is it a communal obligation? Our question is whether the obligation in the first place is at the Raisa or the Rabbanon. The way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in the end of the day is that it's only mitzvah, the Rabbanon, other than Parshas Zachar, and maybe Parshas Parah, as I get to in a second. You had another question, Steve?
So you're saying that the first level of question is whether it's, regardless of whether it's B'yachad or B'yachad.
Exactly. First is the Raisa, the Rabbanon. Then, regardless of which one it is, even if it's the Rabbanon, you could still raise the second question is, well, what's the nature of that obligation? Is it an individual obligation, or is it a communal obligation, which has many nafkaminas too?
It could potentially be different.
Different.
Being the Raisa for one, but the Rabbanon for
another. I'm not sure if that question of the Raisa or the Rabbanon would impact the question of Yachad versus Tzibur.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't...
It's possible where it could be the Raisa for the Tzibur, but it's
that's what you're saying.
For the individual.
Oh, that's interesting. I see. I didn't see that anywhere. You want to try to break up and say maybe...
I don't know, obviously.
I haven't seen it, but it's certainly interesting to suggest it, that maybe, what Steve is suggesting, maybe deraisa is a communal obligation, and Chacham came along and said that there should be an individual participation as well. Or maybe the other way around. Maybe in the deraisa there's a yachid obligation, and Chacham came along and said there should be a communal obligation. It could be. It's certainly interesting. I haven't seen it, which doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But it could be you could connect those two. But at first glance, I would say those two questions would be independent of each other. Okay. Now let's go to the final point here of whether or not... So again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is a Derabanan. That doesn't really change much to us, because we're still going to, of course, keep mitzvahs Derabanan. Still, it's an interesting discussion. So other than Parshas Zachar, everything else is Derabanan. So there is a debate, what about Parshas Parah? Is Parshas Parah deraisa or derabanan? We know everyone gets all excited about Parshas Zachar. They think it's Yag VaYavor. If you're going to miss Parshas Zachar, you have to hear it with Tzibur. Everyone has to be very, very quiet. But no one gets all excited about Parshas Parah usually. So what's the deal with Parshas Parah? Is Parshas Parah a mitzvah deraisa or not? So the Gemara, we quoted the Tosis before in Daf Yud Gimel, in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph, where he said that the only mitzvah deraisa reading is Parshas Zachar. The Maharshal, the Chachma Shlomo in the back, had a girsa that some said Parshas Parah as well. So that's a machlokis in what the girsa of Tosos is. It's very clear in Tosos Rush that he does include Parshas Parah as one of the mitzvahs derais of reading it. So there are two on the list of Tosos Rush. Now, the Shulchan Aruch quotes as a Yesh Omrim that some hold Parshas Parah is a mitzvah deraisa. So the Magen Avraham is bothered by this. Magen Avraham says, where in the world do you get a source of Parshas Parah Aduma to be read mid-deraisa? Parshas Zachar, I understand. The Gemara itself brings Psukim to support the idea that it has to be read in the Tzibur. But where in the world is a source that Parshas Parah would be a mitzvah deraisa to read? That was a tzarachin of the Magen Avraham. So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests the following as a remes. If you look at number 17, we'll read through the Aruch HaShulchan together in the bold. He explains what he thinks is the source for reading Parshas Parah. So he says, "Lanias daiti, near it appears to me, diyesh lazeh remez b'Torah. There is a hint for reading Parshas Parah in the Torah. Dinei b'Parshas Parah aduma, which is Parshas Chukas, kase b'emsa parsha, in the middle of parsha it says, v'hayisal l'vnei Yisrael, it's going to be for b'nei Yisrael, chukas olam, it's going to be for generations, it's going to be eternal. V'darshinim b'sifrei, the Medrash says, shetehei noheges l'doris, it should be practiced for generations, the paraduma. What does that mean? De'efer para, eino tala b'migdash, that the using of the ashes of paraduma does not depend on the base of migdash being constructed or not. Even during the times of the Amoraim, where there was no longer Beis HaMikdash, they still had the Paraduma to be used. As Gemara indicates in Chagiga, Midachen Begalila, they used to, in Galil, they had the Paraduma in order to be Metaher, the people who were living up there. So that's what we learn from the Pasuk of Chukas Olam. But the sof of the parsha k'siv, at the end of the parsha, it's written, "Vayisal lahem l'chukas olam u'miyusaru." It says again the same phrase, "chukas olam," a second time. What's the need for that? That is superfluous. So it says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's the source. De oso le'inyan kriyas parsha af bizman deleka efer para, telling us that parsha paraduma is going to be eternal, even if there is no longer efer para, you still have to read it l'chukas olam for generations. How do you accomplish that if there's no longer A for Paraduma? How do you accomplish reading? How do you accomplish the Paraduma if there is no Paraduma anymore? The idea is by reading the Parshas Paraduma is the way of fulfilling that mitzvah. We have a concept the Gemara says at the end of Menachos that kol ha kore chatas kilu hikriv chatas. Anyone who reads the psukim, it's as if you're bringing the actual carbon. So too, what the Aruch HaShulchan I think is saying is, kol ha-kore parshas chukas, parshas paraduma, it's ki'ilu you're being involved in the mitzvah of paraduma, that's the chukas olam, that's the source that paraduma should be read, bizman hazeh, even on a deraisa level.
So theoretically, if we had a paraduma, like a few years ago, there was some kind of stuff going around that somebody found a paraduma. So theoretically, it would be...
Theoretically, yes, I don't know all the details involved. In theory, it should work. Bizman hazeh, I don't know what type of kohanim you need you need a kohen as part of it. So I don't know how that works, whether a Uri Kohen with great yichus would be good enough, or a Rappaport, or who knows. But there are other requirements. But that paradigm itself, in theory, can be used, yeah.
So if it's a remez, that's enough to call it Teresa? Is there different levels of
I mean,
that's not good enough generally?
It's a great question. I didn't think about it. Great question, because it's not a drasha. It's not a drasha that it's found anywhere in Midrashim. He created this drasha, which makes it a remez. Great question. Normally the halach is by an asmachta. We have an asmachta, which is like a remez. It doesn't have a status of a deraisa. So, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. In Echanami. What?
Pardes, and that shot, the remez, is that how we learn out the Torah? So
yeah, we learn it out, but to give it a status of a deraisa level doesn't make it a remez, doesn't make it a deraisa in terms of a source. Right, exactly. I think so. I think, great point, Steve. Great point. The final point is the Meshech Chachma in the Parsha Chukas. He's referring to... The Gemara in Yuma says that the halacha that a kohen gadol has to be separate 7 days before the Yom Kippur. He has to separate 7 days to get himself ready. And the Gemara brings a source from the pasuk that says, "Kasher tziva Hashem la'asos l'chaper aleichem." So this is referring to in the context of the miluim, that there are 7 days of preparation before the Mishkan was put together. And the Gemara says, what do we learn from the pasuk la'asos l'chaper aleichem? Lasos is referring to Paraduma, and Lechap is referring to Yom HaKippurim. So we say, just like for the Mishkan, they're required to have 7 days of preparation, so to Paraduma, you have to separate the Kohen for 7 days, and so to Yom HaKippurim, you have to separate the Kohen for 7 days. So he ends up learning further that just like Yom HaKippurim, that there's also a Parsha. After the Kohen Gadol finishes the entire Yom Avodat Yom HaKippurim, he reads from Parshas Acher Mos, another Pesukim. So too, he says that the Mishkan, after they read the Mishkan, they read certain psukim after they performed the Mishkan. So too, when it comes to the Paraduma, he says, after they performed the Paraduma, they read a part of Parshas Chukas. So he says, again, it's a little confusing, you have to read this inside, but linking them all together, just like Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol has to read the Parsha, and just like the Mishkan, they have to read the Parsha, so to Paraduma, that Parsha must be read. And that's what he thinks is the hint, the source for reading Parshas Paraduma on a deraisa level. Now the challenge with this is, this source would only indicate when you perform the actual Paraduma, is there an obligation to read the Parsha of Paraduma. But to read it once a year on a, not a random Shabbos, but where there's no Parsha, where there's no actual Paraduma being brought, so that wouldn't necessarily be a raya. Either way, you see they're struggling to find the raya, whether or not Parshas Paraduma would be considered deraisa. In the end of the day, we have that Machlokas Rashi Tosas, whether or not laning in general is deraisa derabanan. Rashi assumes laning is deraisa. Rambam assumes, rather Tosas assumes it's only derabanan, with the exception of Parsha Zachar, and perhaps maybe Parsha Paraduma. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll pick up next week.